Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers, part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate. This week, we got GG Greg Glover as the guest. It doesn't get old. I like it. I love it.
Really? Really? Doesn't get old, huh?
Nope, never.
Okay.
Not for me, anyway. I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
Next.
You're the guest. Well, guest host.
Next.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Why we're here?
Why we're here? Well, I don't know. I've been asking my question. We both have been asking our questions that lately. Yes. Okay, we have Hark Herald here from EOS Worldwide. Welcome back, Hark.
Thank you.
Hark, for the past 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we've been walking through the EOS model and the six different components of the EOS model. They are vision, people, data, issues, process, and now today we're going to talk about traction.
Exactly.
Where everything comes together.
Yes, it does.
It's the last component within the model, but it's the first book within the traction library, right?
Yes.
That's not confusing.
No. So, again, the EOS model is all about strengthening six key components of a business, because we believe that, you know, every organization is dealing with 100 plus issues at any one time. If you can strengthen the six key components of the business, those 100 plus issues tend to go away because they're really symptoms of the root cause. And so, you know, we started with vision, you know, where you're going and how you're going to get there. People, how we put right people in right seats and how we define that and help the leadership team define that for their organization. The data component, so we're operating on facts and figures and not hunches. And once your vision, people, and data components become strong, your organization becomes more transparent and you are able to identify the issues. And then we talked about how you get an issues list and how you attack those with our issue solving track, which is IDS, or to identify, discuss, and solve. And from there, we talked last week about processes and documenting those at a high level, the 20-80 approach, to identify what are the 20% of the steps that get you 80% of the way there to promote consistency, scalability, and profitability and make it easier to manage, and then how you make sure those processes are followed by all. Now we've come to the traction component, which if you look at the model, vision's at the top and traction's at the bottom, because this is with the ground, this is where we're making things happen, and vision without traction is just hallucination.
Outstanding. Where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, well, within traction, we've got what's something called rocks. I'm assuming we're not talking like rocks on the ground. And we've got meeting pulse. So walk us through those.
Yeah. So rocks. So believe it or not, you only have 100% of your time. That's
what?
All you have, no matter how you
I should
it.
Tell my boss that.
Oh, we should.
Hey, Gigi. Did you hear that? I only have 100% of my time.
So, yeah. So you have 100% of your time. So this comes from Stephen Covey. Demonstration with, you have a, let's say, imagine you have a glass cylinder that is, you know, represents 100% of your time. And then you have rocks, pebbles, sand, and water that you need to put into this jar. Well, if you don't put the rocks in first, if you put in the pebbles, the sand, and the water, you can't get the rocks in. So when we talk about rocks, we're talking about, these are the strategic priorities for the organization. These are what needs to happen in the next 90 days for the organization. And when we talked about the vision and the vision traction organizer, we talked about how the 90 days contribute to making your one-year goal. Your one-year goal leads to attaining your three-year picture, all en route to your 10-year target. So these are about what are the priorities for the organization for the next 90 days to make all of those things happen. So that's where the rocks come from. It's simply what are the strategic priorities for the next 90 days. When we went through the Vision Traction Organizer in the vision episode, we talked about the company rocks and the rocks for the leadership team. What are the priorities for both the company and then for the individuals on the leadership team? This is about getting that discipline out throughout the entire organization. So at the end of the journey, everybody in the organization has 1 to 3 rocks, priorities for them for this next quarter that they are going to work on achieving. So that's kind of the rocks.
Okay. So strategic priorities for the next 90 days, and that's right, that's for every person, right? I'm assuming just like everything else within the US model, it starts with the leadership team first, and then eventually you can flow that down to the rest of the company.
Exactly, yeah. And again, when an implementer works with a company, we work with the leadership team, so we get the leadership team to be able to use these tools and disciplines, and then they roll that out throughout the entire organization. Typically, that's about a two-year journey. Okay. To get it out throughout the entire organization so that everybody in the organization has they know what those 1 to 3 priorities are for them for the next organization. They have those weekly measurables we talked about when we talked about the data component, and they know what their roles and responsibilities are from the accountability chart and how all of that contributes to achieving that vision.
Sorry, I started taking a note. I can't speak and write at the same time. Go ahead.
Really? Okay. No, I was gonna say, with that, you said 2 years to get through the whole process. There's not a shorter version than that?
2 year journey to become to really have that again. On my webpage, we talked about there's an organizational checkup,
right,
where you can identify where you feel you're strong in these components. Typical journey is 2 years to become 80% strong in each of these components. We want to get everybody to 100% strong, but we know that's utopia, probably not going to happen. So our goal that we're shooting for is 80% strong. And so that is and that's a self-graded, right? The team does that grade. How do we feel we are on this journey?
Right.
So, and I think towards the end here, we'll talk about our proven process, which is how an implementer such as myself works with a team. That is, the average is a 2 year journey.
Okay.
So some leave sooner, some get it sooner. They're like, hey, Hark, thanks, got it, appreciate it. Because again, I'm an implementer. My job is to help you implement the system. It is not to become part of your staff on an ongoing basis. So I want to get you up and running on EOS. When you, the organization, feel like you have it, then you graduate, I congratulate you, and you go about running your business, which is what I want to do, is get you trained so that you can go about running your business and you don't need me. On the other hand, some organizations like having the implementer stick around and come in and facilitate the quarterly sessions, because I know personally I cannot participate in the session while I'm facilitating the session.
Right.
And so they like having that outside person come in on a quarterly basis or maybe just for their 2-day annuals, but that's totally on them. At the end of 2 years, they should be graduated and ready to go.
Okay. And then meeting pulse.
Yeah.
That's the next piece of this. I know you talked about the rocks, and I really appreciated the, you know, when you described it the first time, as far as how, you know, the rocks, pebbles, sand, and water, and mm-hmm. this kind of thing. So what is the meeting pulse then?
Yeah. So the meeting pulse is about, you know, the pulse of the organization, making sure that the leadership team is aware of what's happening in the organization, how they deal with it, et cetera. So when I first meet with a leadership team, I do what we call a 90-minute meeting, which is a free, no obligation. Hey, I want to have a conversation with you, the leadership team, again, not just one person, because I work with a team. Hey, and in that 90 minutes, I'm going to talk to them about EOS, where it came from, et cetera. I'm going to learn about them, where they are, where they think they're going now. what their challenges, opportunities are. And then talk to them about the tools more in depth than what we've done here, but with them, and then talk about how we implement. And so in that 90-minute meeting, one of the questions I ask them is, how would you rate the effectiveness of your meetings today? The average of that is a 4, 5, or 6. So on a 1 to 10 scale, they're like, our meetings are about a 4 or 5.
Right.
And so the level 10 meeting format is what we teach as part of the meeting pulse. And so we want to get them to having where they rate their meetings at a 10. So what makes for a great meeting is like 5 or 6 things. One is, it's on the same day of the week, it's at the same time, it starts on time, it ends on time, it has the same agenda, and you're using it to solve issues. So that's what makes for a great meeting. And so the meeting pulse is two things. So one is the quarterly meeting pulse, those 90-day rocks. So we turn the organization so they have a 90-day world. We're just focused for these 90 days because we've already planned how those contribute to the one-year goal, three-year picture, 10-year target. So for the next 90 days, this is our world. This is our view. This is our priorities. These are the rocks for the next 90 days. We get together every 90 days. We've been running in the business. We take a step up, and we spend a day working on the business. We review the last 90 days. Did we accomplish our priorities? What are the lessons learned, et cetera? And we establish the priorities for the next 90 days. So that's establishing that 90-day world. So that's part of the meeting pulse. The next part of the meeting pulse, though, is a weekly cadence, because it's like the heartbeat, right? You got to keep that pulse going the whole time. And so the other thing is, when you have those rocks and they're 90 days, people have a tendency, if you don't keep reminding them, to go, oh, on day 83, oh, shit, that's due in 7 days.
Right.
Right?
That's never said that.
Human nature. And so we teach...
Every week?
We teach them the what we call, again, the level 10 format for their weekly meetings. And in that, so let me just give you the format, and I'll talk about the rocks in there. So the format is, first we do 5 minutes to segue into the meeting. Again, we start on time. So 5 minutes to segue into the meeting. And what that is about, getting people's heads out of their email and whatever, and like, I'm here, I'm in this meeting. And we share personal and professional good news from the last time we met, so a week ago. Give me a one piece of professional good news and one piece of personal good news. One of the reasons we want to make sure we share that personal good news is, we talked about, we want the organization to be improve in vision, traction, and healthy, and this is about making the team more healthy.
It's all about the team.
Yep. Makes sense.
So we want to make sure we're sharing personal good news. You get to know your team members better. It makes for a better functioning, cohesive team. So that's 5 minutes of good news. Not 5 minutes per person. That's 5 minutes to go around the room. Good news. And again, we're talking, 3 to 7 people in the meeting.
So. Right.
And then we review that scorecard that we established when we talked about the data component a few weeks ago. And that is those 5 to 15 high-level numbers so that you can get a pulse on the organization. But every week, you're going to report on it. And you're going to say, because you have your goal, and you have a who's accountable for that goal, and they're going to say, made it or missed it. Those are the only two acceptable phrases to come out of their mouths. So, well, I got 4 out of 5. So you're telling me you missed it. So I made it or I missed it. Or, well, I would have, but did you make it or did you miss it?
This is not an excuse session.
Exactly. Yeah. If they miss it, we say drop it down, and we add it to the issues list that we talked about when we talked about the issues component. So if they miss it, it goes down to the issues list. Then we do a rock review, and the scorecard review is 5 minutes because, again, it's made it or missed it. We do a rock review, and the two acceptable, well, three, but the two normal acceptable answers are on track or off track. Again, if it's off track, you just drop it down. We don't discuss it there. The other acceptable answer is done, which typically happens more close to the end of the 90 days. But it's on track, off track, or done. And if it's an issue, you drop it down. So even if you're on track, you might want to talk, but you might think, hey, it says on track, but I want to. So we drop it down onto the issues list, and then we'll decide if we're going to talk about it. The next thing is after the rock review, is a people headline. And again, this is a people headline, not a people in-depth. We're getting into it. It may be good or bad news about a customer or an employee, or it's just something that, in our case, the leadership team needs to be aware of. hey, Jill was not happy with the last set of product we delivered. Jill over at, you know, XYZ. Right. And so I just need y'all, do we need to talk about it? No, I just need you all to be aware right now. Or if it is an issue, we drop it down. And the employee headlines, again, just something, hey, you know, Bill is going out on paternity leave for 2 months. Okay, we just want to make sure everybody knows. From there, we look at we inject accountability into it, and we look at their to-do list. So each week, we're going to come out with action items out of this meeting, and those are to-dos that are due to be accomplished within 7 days. And so we simply look at our to-dos, and they're either done or not done. The only acceptable answers. Our goal is to have 90% of the to-dos dropping off each week. But it's done or not done. If they're not done, it drops down. So in 25 minutes, we've gone through and gotten an absolute pulse on the organization. We've identified how we're moving towards accomplishing our strategic objectives. We've gotten a pulse on the organization from a people perspective. And we've, you know, looked at, are we making progress on things we promised each other we would do? So that all happens in 25 minutes on a weekly basis.
And that is much harder than it sounds, because people always want to expound upon, you know, the greatness of whatever it was.
Exactly.
And this kind of thing.
And this is where that, so people ask, like, well, who should run the L10 meeting? Who should facilitate? Who should run the L10 meeting?
Right.
And we say, whoever's the best at running meetings. Whoever on the team is best at cutting people off. Politely, I mean, not rudely,
right?
But is whoever that is, a lot of times it's the integrator, but it's not always. Sometimes there's somebody else who's better at running the meeting. And so it should just be whoever is good at running the meeting.
So, okay, before we move forward, I want to take a step back here. I'm trying to keep up with notes here, and I want to make sure we get this all right for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So a meeting should be include, what did you say, 5 or 6?
So it's on the same day of the week.
Same day of the week.
Same time.
So, same time.
It starts on time. Ends on time. And it has the same agenda. Okay. And we're using it to solve issues. Because that's, right, otherwise it's information passing. I can read it. Right? If you're going to gather people, and these are, again, I'm talking about the leadership team. If you're putting that much, because that costs money, because they're not doing other things.
Right.
You need to make the most efficient and effective use of that time.
And I know when I was a young officer in the Army, got a new commander that came in. He said, okay, this meeting's going to last 1 hour. And when 1 hour, you know, rolled around and we were only about, 60% of the way through the meeting, he stood up, looked at his executive officer and said, I told you 1 hour. He turned around and walked out. And before he walked out the door, he goes, you'll get it right next week, right?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. But it's that kind of attitude that you have to have.
Exactly. And so, you know, when we look at that again, the first 25 minutes is pure productivity. It is simply understanding what's happening in the business. And we do it every week and we have an absolute pulse. We don't get surprised. Then the next 60 minutes is for IDSing. It's for resolving the top priority issues for the organization. And again, we use that issue-solving track where we have our issues list. We identify what are the 1, 2, and 3 most important priorities for the organization to deal with this week. So every week we're doing that. You knock out those 3, and you identify what are the next 1, 2, and 3 priorities. Pretty soon you get to the point where you're knocking out 6, 9, 12 issues that are important for the organization every week. So it's 25 minutes up front for that, 60 minutes of IDSing, of solving priority issues for the company. And then 5 minutes before the end, because we're going to end on time, we move to conclude. And when we conclude, we do 3 things. One is we recap the to-dos, because coming out of this IDS session, people got tasks to go do, because that's how you resolve issues to keep them from recurring. And so we recap the to-dos to make sure everybody understands what their to-dos are. Because sometimes in the meeting, it'll be like, okay, I'm going to go talk with Jill. And then you get to the end of the meeting, you're like, well, what was I going to talk to Jill about? Like, I wrote down I'm going to talk to Jill. So we want to make sure everybody understands, because these to-dos, we and again, at EOS, we stress the accountability. These are promises to your fellow leadership team members. You're making a promise. I'm going to do this in the next 7 days. And so we recap the to-dos to make sure everybody understands what their actions are. We then make a conscious call out to say on cascading messages. Is there anything we decided in here today that somebody not in this room needs to know about? Because too often we'll also do that. We'll make a decision and then it's like, we didn't tell Tony. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Tony needs to know that. We changed that.
Tony should have been to the meeting, though.
Well, you know, if Tony's not there, the standard rule of be there or be volunteered comes in.
I'm talking about Tony on the shop floor.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Is there somebody not in this meeting?
Okay, that
not in the leadership team that needs to know something we decided in this meeting.
Okay. But that's up to whoever is
Tony's supervisor.
Well, not necessarily Tony's supervisor, but it could be. I mean, it could be, right? But it's whoever's accountable for Tony.
Yeah, and so, we want to make sure. So what if Tony's boss isn't in the meeting? Again, is simply, is there anything we talked about today that somebody not in this room needs to know that we don't already have documented that somebody's going to tell them?
Right.
So we just make it a conscious discussion.
Right.
And then, finally, we rate the meeting. So on 1 to 10, 1 being, God, we sucked. 10 being, that was really good. We got through what we needed to get through. Everybody, you know. And then if it's less than an 8, what would have made it better? And so because that's the only way you're going to improve your meetings and get to that level 10 is if you're measuring them each week. And so if it's less than an 8, what would have made it better? So that is our L10 meeting format. It's a 90-minute meeting with the leadership team every week to have that pulse of the organization. And so what we found is, because initially people will be like, 90 minutes? Like, oh, shit, it's another. It's like, no, this should take other meetings off of your plate. And you're dealing with the issues, the priority issues, each and every week, which should reduce those, oh, shit, urgent and important, because you didn't spend time working on them when they were important and not urgent.
So I want to go back. So we talked about the 6 parts of this, of what you should do for this meeting. And the 25 minutes that you really get into it, you had 5 minutes to segue into the meeting where you do personnel and professional good news. 5 minutes total. Okay, correct. So that leaves us 20 minutes now. Do we start with rock review or was there one on this?
Scorecard.
Scorecard, okay.
And they're either made it or missed it. Everybody knows the goal. Everybody knows who's accountable and what the measurable is.
And if it's missed, it moves it down into the issues, and then which is the rock review next, or do issue review?
No, so scorecard,
yep.
Rock review,
okay.
People headlines,
keep a headline, and then
to-dos, make sure we're either done or not. And what that does, again, one of the reasons, because, you know, Greg, you're right. Everybody, in the beginning session, they want to explain why they missed it, or, well, it's off track, but it's not really off. It's like, it either is or it isn't, period.
Right.
Now, because if we spend time talking about it at the beginning of the meeting, we decrease the amount of time during that IDS to identify what are the priorities. Because the fact that you missed that weekly, it may be a priority for the, and that's fine. We'll prioritize it when we get to the issues list.
Right.
But that week, it may not be the best use of the 60 minutes of the leadership team's time. So let's not talk about it then, if we need to talk about it separately. But let's identify what are the priorities for this week, for this, the precious time of the leadership team. So eventually we roll the rocks and then the meeting pulse get rolled out throughout the entire organization. Now, when you get below the leadership team level, it may not be a 90-minute meeting, right? We adapt it. Maybe it's a 30-minute meeting or a 60-minute. The key, though, is however long that is, at least 50% of the time is devoted to solving issues, is devoted to IDS.
Excellent. So after you conclude with the to-dos, then we're going to move on to 60 minutes of the issue solving. That's the 60 minutes, right?
Correct.
And try to get through as many of those as you can, typically the top 3.
You get through the top 3. I mean, yeah, depending on the issue, you might get through 1. But as long as it's the priority for the organization.
For that week.
Right. But typically, you're going to get through 6, 9, 12 issues, depending on what they are.
Okay. And then you finish up with 5 minutes to conclude. And within that 5 minutes, you got recap of the to-dos again, because you might have some new to-dos after the issues.
Absolutely.
And then you take actions back to whoever wasn't at the meeting.
Yep, give them cascading messages.
Cascading messages. And then rate the meeting.
Correct. And if it's less than an 8, what would have made it better? Because it's our responsibility as a leadership team to hold each other accountable and to make it, you know, it can be, you know, hey, listen, Gigi wouldn't, you know, wanted to keep explaining this, or, you know, Jenny said this 5 times. We heard her the first time when we were in IDS. Like, you don't need, so we want to make it better. We're trying to make it the most productive use of the leadership team's time.
Fair enough. Makes sense.
Yeah. And Debbie didn't need to go around the barn to tell us who she talked to in order to get that information.
Yeah. Well, Jill does, though, so.
Well, you know.
Yeah. So, again, 100% strong in the traction component is that everybody in the organization has those 1 to 3 rocks. They understand the company rocks, and that everybody is in a meeting pulse each week at the appropriate level for their organization. What you'll then find is that most people are in 2 L10s a week. They're in the one with their team, with their sales team or their production team or whatever, and then they're in their bosses, right?
So the leadership team will typically have 2. People below that probably only have 1.
Depending on how many layers in the organization. Sure. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, so I've asked you this every week now. Is there a template or a tool that you guys use for the L10 meeting that's out there to download?
Yeah, so you can go to EOSworldwide.com, you go to the toolbox, or you can go to harkeos.com, which is my site, and get to the EOS Worldwide toolbox, and the Level 10 meeting agenda format is in there. Again, if for companies that are running on EOS, there are a couple of software packages out there that are specifically designed for those companies, and they have a Level 10 format in them that you can use. You can capture, you know, people can put issues in there throughout the week. People, when you go through it, it'll time it. It'll tell you how much time you're spending on each of the sections. If you go over, it'll turn red, you know, and you can capture your issues and to-dos. You can drop your metrics, your scorecard, your rocker. You can drop all that down to the issues list with just, you know, 2 clicks, you know. So there's software out there that makes it easy. But again, you absolutely don't need to use software. You can do this in an Excel spreadsheet with a watch, right?
Okay.
But yeah, the format is out there.
Okay. So one thing I don't remember, I hope I didn't zone out. But the when you rate the meeting, is there a certain way you do that? Or is it all subjective?
It's all subjective. What we tell the people is that it's a 10. Like, was it the most effective use of your time, right? Did people participate? Did people hold back? Did people follow the format? Was it a good use of time? Were people engaged, or was, you know, Bill overlooking at his phone when we're supposed to not be, we are supposed to be present in this meeting and focus here? So it's a subjective call by each member. And so we go around and we'll call on each member, what's your rating? And everybody gives their rating. Again, less than an 8, what would have made it better? And then we average it. And again, if you use the software, it's kept there. You can always go back and look. Or in other systems, you know, you can just keep track of it on an Excel spreadsheet or whatever.
Okay.
So if you get to that point where you say, this is an hour and a half of my life that I will never get back, that's probably going to fall below that 8.
Yes, if it was a waste of time. Yes. If it's an hour and a half that you're never going to get back and it's stopped you from having 5 other meetings, then you're probably going to go, okay, I invested that hour and a half and it was worth it.
Exactly.
And I think it's completely dependent upon the person too. Some people absolutely can't stand any meetings. Other people absolutely just love meetings because they want to hear themselves talk.
Right. And so then I'm going to go back to the accountability chart. Are they the right people in the right seats? If they hate meetings and they hate representing their team in a meeting, then they're not the right person for that
seat.
They
shouldn't be in leadership anymore.
Exactly.
Right? They should be the doer.
Yep. And that's sometimes a tough call, but the right call that's the best thing for the organization. This is all about running the business to get more of what the business owner, the leadership team wants out of this business.
Okay. And
everybody's got to be bought into that, or they're not the right person.
Agree.
And if it's somebody that does like meetings because they want to hear themselves talk, you should advise them to get a podcast.
It worked for me. Mom always said I had a face for radio.
Hey. And now we got a camera.
I know. They do great things with blurry technologies now, though. Hark, you had you wanted to kind of let's recap the entire EOS process, if you will, for the listeners out there. We've kind of walked now through, I believe, all six
key components
of the model, but then there's a process to that model.
Right?
Can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So. The EOS proven process, so this is if you want to work with an implementer such as myself to help a leadership team implement this system within their organization. People do self-implement. I mean, you can read the book. It is, and again, we talked about this, these are simple, real-world practical tools. There's no rocket science involved in this. There's no software development involved in this. They're simple tools. Simple does not equate to easy. And so, as an EOS implementer, my job is to help a leadership team implement this within their organization to get more of what they want out of their business. And so I am a teacher, a coach, and facilitator. So I teach the tools. I coach the team. I'm there to coach them on how to use the tools, answer questions, etc. And I facilitate because, again, I work with the leadership team. So I need to make sure the entire team is aligned. And we talk about one of our jobs as an EOS implementer is to walk into the danger. So when somebody says something and somebody else rolls their eyes but doesn't come up, so my job is to call that out. My job is to enter the danger and make sure the team is working together. So I facilitate those discussions and make sure that we're not being passive aggressive or whatever. So I'm a teacher, coach, and facilitator as an implementer. So the process that if you use an implementer to do it as opposed to self-implementing is that I have a free, no obligation, 90-minute meeting with the leadership team. In that meeting, I give them the history of EOS so they know it's not something Hark made up last week in his basement. the fact that, there are, 649 implementers around the globe doing this. It's not me alone.
I bet you wish it was.
Yeah. I learn about them because we're going to come out of this 90-minute meeting deciding if there's a fit to go forward. So it's sometimes people think they want it, and I'll look at them and go, "You're not ready. This isn't going to work."
Yeah.
And so it's about EOS. It's about them. I go into more depth on the tools that we talked about, and then I talk to them about this process that I'm going to talk about now, which is how we implement it. So we have the free 90-minute no-obligation meeting.
Okay.
And again, people can go to my website and sign up for one of those or let me know, and we'll have a discussion about getting that set up.
And what is that website?
HarkEOS.com.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's a conversation, and then we can decide if a 90-minute meeting is the right next step. If it is, and we both agree it's a fit going forward, then what we do is we have 3 full-day sessions over the course of about 60 days. We have what we call a focus day, where I'm going to work with the team, and these are, again, full-day sessions, on hitting the ceiling and the 5 leadership attributes that enable an organization to move past hitting that ceiling. We're going to take first shot at their accountability chart that we talked about in the people component. We're going to identify their rocks or their 90-day priorities for the organization. And then we'll get them set up with that level 10 meeting pulse that we talked about today, teach them the level 10 format, how to do it, all of that. And then we'll take first hack at their scorecard, because as we talked about in the data component, the scorecard takes a while typically to get up and running into one that they really love. So 30 days later, we're going to come back for what we call a vision building day 1. So the first thing we're going to do is review all of those things we went over in the focus day. Because this is space-based learning, because I'm going to give them homework and stuff to do they're going to come back with questions and with the, I didn't understand this, we thought we knew this, whatever. So first thing we do is review those tools to make sure they're good to go. Then we start answering the 8 questions that we talked about in the vision component on the Vision Traction Organizer or the VTO. So those are, we help them determine what are their true core values, not what goes on the coffee mug, but really what are they, their core focus, what they're going to do, because core values define who you are, core focus defines what you do, what is their 10-year target, their big, hairy, audacious goal, what is their marketing strategy, how are they going to get to that 10-year target, what's their 3-year picture, what does it look like in 3 years en route to that 10-year target, their 1-year plan, which gets more specific with those goals for the year, the 3 to 7, not 37, nope, but 3 to 7, their company rocks, those 90-day priorities, and then we start developing that issues list. So in vision building day 1, we review what we did in the focus day, and we typically get through the 10-year target in vision building day 1.
Okay.
Vision building day 2, we come back and get 30 days again later. Again, review everything we've done to date to make sure, because this is space-based learning. They may have come up with other things.
Yeah, or found it's changed it, right? Or whatever.
And we finish answering the 8 questions. So at that point, we've got the VTO complete, and they've up and running on the tools. And then we move into execution mode, which is where I come in and facilitate their quarterly meetings. So 3 quarterly meetings and a 2-day annual, typically a retreat where they go away somewhere as a team. And do that. Most customers do that for 2 years. This is where we get to the 2-year average.
Okay.
Some graduate sooner. Others, again, want the implementer to stick around, but that's totally up to them.
Okay. And in that time period, you're going through quarterly pulsing, right?
Yep.
Focus and traction, team health, quarterly rocks, issue solving, toolbox tools, and accountability. So the toolbox tools, is that just making sure they're keeping up with?
Yeah, so the tools that we've talked about so far are what we call the foundational tools. Like, you got to get those right to start. But then we have other tools in our toolbox, such as a delegate and elevate tool, a quarterly conversation tool. And so it's just, we have other tools we introduce as the team progresses along the journey.
Okay. Well, Greg, what do you got?
I think it's been very informative across the board, as far as that goes. Nate and I've talked about it after the sessions and this kind of thing, going, you know, there's a lot of stuff here that we could really implement
ourselves
on what we're doing. So it's been very informative, and I think there's probably a lot of stuff that we're going to try to take away from it, just, you know, on our own, and start going and seeing what we can do with our little piece of the company out here.
Yeah, and that's great. And, you know, when I've talked to, you know, other, you know, CEOs about this, and they're like, wow, that's a lot. It's a lot. It's like, well, yeah, it is, but we take it step by step. And again, these are not rocket science. It's just really executing. It's doing them. And so it may seem a lot, and it's not nothing, but it's also steps. And you go through the process. And again, whether people self-implement or if they want an implementer to help them, you know, that's up to them. Either way, when I do the 90-minute meeting with an organization, I will give them that the Vision Traction Organizer. Right. And I tell them, like, listen, if you decide to move forward with me or not, use this. This is going to help your organization. So one of our core values as EOS implementers is to help first.
Right.
So we always help first. And then see if there's needs and a desire to go further or more in depth.
Excellent. Anything else that we haven't talked about over the past 7 weeks?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot more, but this has been great. I appreciate the opportunity to let people know this exists, so they can check it out for themselves and see if there's a fit. It's not a fit for every organization, and that's fine. I just want people to know that it's out there. And that there are people, there are implementers like myself who are willing to help if they would like to do that.
Well, and it's a model, right? Like you said, it's not going to be for everybody. But I think I think this could be hugely beneficial for that smaller company. Like you said, 10 to 100, I think, is your, or 10 to 250.
10 to 250.
Is your sweet spot. I think that's perfect because they're probably less likely to have too many bad habits at that point.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, once again, every company is different, right? You grow real fast, or do you take, you know, 20 years to get to that 250? The longer it takes, I think, is the longer, the more bad habits you're going
to
pick up.
Yeah. Some of the organizations that this is particularly applicable to or useful for, right? So one is military veteran-owned companies, because this is a playbook, and veterans are good to execute the hell out of a playbook.
Yeah.
But they may not have a how do I run my business playbook from their military background, right? Correct. So for veterans, for people that are looking to sell their business, like entrepreneur, it's a family business and the next generation doesn't want, you know, they're not interested. This gets it set up, especially when we talked about the processes, you know, last week. It's about how do you do the right things, and so you can set it up so it's not dependent on a person being there, right? And so those people who've hit the ceiling, a technician who's started a company and they're really good at being a technician, but they just don't have that experience, and that's fine.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, we really enjoy you coming on. One last time, how do people get a hold of you?
HarkEOS.com. HarkEOS.com. Hark the Herald Angels.
You know, you had to go there because every time you've been here, that song runs through my head.
Yes.
And people around here are starting to call you the Christmas Man. I don't know if I told you that or not.
I merely asked him if your wife's name was Angel Sing.
And I looked at him like he's stupid, but that's okay.
Yeah, you can thank the Air Force for the nickname. Yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate you coming back on, and this is a great little mini-series. This is our first mini-series we've done on the podcast, we'll probably have you back on another time as we get all this information out and see how it's going, and we always like to have people back in like a year from now or something like that, just see how things are going and see if you've got any traction from being on the podcast as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I've enjoyed it, and I will be seeing you around in other venues with all the stuff the Smalls is doing across the Front Range. And so thank you for doing all that across the Front Range.
That's for sure. Greg, thanks for joining me and let me call you GG.
You know, anything to help you out, man. It's what a helper person does.
The memes are
going
to start flowing now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the other way around. So, okay. Well, with that being said, this is Just Nate signing off. Till next week.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode. See you at the next episode.